is on Jesus is where you are. You know, you can't be unholy looking at Jesus. You know, people always talk about, you know, you need to be holy. Let's put on some holiness. How do you put on holiness? You know, how do you do that? How does a person put on? Does that mean that you're going to start wearing your dresses from here to the ground? You know, or your hair in a bun? You know, and the men, you know, can't have to wear long sleeve shirts? You know, we went to this one church, we had years ago in the church, and they said the women had to wear long sleeves because they couldn't show their elbows. Now, I don't know about you, but an elbow never turned me on, do you? I don't know what that was. What were they trying to cover up? That's just old stuff that puts guilt and condemnation on a person. Amen. It has absolutely and positively nothing to do with Jesus.
Talking about it.
You know, and so when you look at Jesus, amen, you've put on all the holiness you can put on. You can't put any more holiness on than keeping your eyes on Jesus.
Amen.
When you look at Jesus, amen, he's the Holy One, amen.
Come on,
he reflects to us what he is.
Come on.
And so you look at, you know, used to in our church, you know, we give the scripture. It says, lift holy hands unto the Lord. And this one man stood up one day and he said, you know what? I don't feel like my hands are too holy. I said, they would be if you lifted them to the Lord.
Yeah.
I don't care where they've been, amen. If you lift them to the Lord, they're holy.
Amen.
Come on. See, we just keep thinking it's all up to us.
Yes.
When none of it is up to us.
No. That's right.
It's all up to God, amen. Everything that we are is up to him. Who we are is who Jesus is, amen.
Okay.
The Bible says that as he is, so are we in this world.
Come on now.
You know, I'm not any different than Jesus. You're not any different than Jesus.
Mm.
How do you think God feels about Jesus?
Wow.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Come on.
Uh-huh.
Good.
I was listening. I did a little trip this week, and I won't tell you what I did, but I went somewhere 100 miles one way and 100 miles back, and I got a chance to listen to some CDs. Well, it's good to listen to CDs.
Mm-hmm.
I listened to Joseph Prince. I haven't listened to everything that Joseph Prince has taught, but I've never heard him teach anything that I disagree with.
Mm-hmm.
I love Joseph Prince. Amen. But it doesn't make any difference whether I agree with him or not. Amen. You know, I mean, Joseph Prince preaches the word, but I agree with the stuff that he says. And one of the things he was talking about, you know, was just our faithfulness to God and how that our faith is not what we need to be trying to build up. We need to have faith in God's faith.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And what Jesus has done for us.
Amen.
I've taught that for years. Jerry, how long have I taught that? How many years have I taught that? Remember, I don't know, some of you, I was from the faith camp, and I was seeing all kinds of miracles and all everything before I got a hold of some of the things that people was telling you had to do to see miracles.
Mm.
Then when I started doing those things, I quit seeing miracles. So I went back to the old way. Amen. I just went back to looking to Jesus.
Yeah.
Went back to looking at him and how his heart is for people.
Yes.
If you can't pray for somebody because you want to see them well, rather than just to have a testimony, you don't need to pray for them.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
Amen.
We need to get our heart to the place, amen, that when we pray for somebody, it's for them. It's not for us to have a testimony.
Come on, man. Come on.
And when we get that away, amen, we'll have plenty of testimonies.
Yes.
Amen.
We'll have lots of testimonies because that's what Jesus does. We're just doing what Jesus does.
Yeah.
Amen. We're not trying to show somebody how much faith we've got.
Amen.
You don't really want somebody to see how much faith you've got. Come on. But we went out of these limbs. You know, we went out the confession limb. You know, it got to the place where you couldn't even talk to a person.
I know, right?
Because if you said anything negative at all, they'd say, that's a negative confession.
That's what they said.
Come on, if you remember those days.
Yeah.
They even thought it was negative when Peter hollered for help when he was walking on the water when he started to sink. If Jesus had been like we was teaching, he was like, he'd have walked over when Peter was drowning, he'd say, that's a negative confession. Peter would have been going, whoop, whoop. It's not a negative confession to holler for help, amen.
Amen.
I don't know of anybody that don't need it.
Come on, man.
Do you know anybody that don't need help? Does anybody in here know anybody don't need that? If you raise your hand, I'll say, you're the one that needs it. You need help. Come on, we all need help, amen. And it's not a negative thing to tell God the things that we need, but because he knows that we have need of them before we even ask.
Well, amen. That's word.
And he'll tell us that. He says, I knew you needed that. But there it is.
Amen.
Amen. But we go out of all these limbs. We got the limb of confession. We got the limb of faith. We got the limb of healing. We got all these limbs. And I was telling Jerry that one day, the Lord just showed me that. I said, I've been out every limb, you know, of every fad and everything that's going on, just to find out that the limbs are attached to the tree, and the tree is Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Why run out of a limb when you've got the spirit in the tree?
Right.
Amen. Hallelujah. And so Jesus is all those things that we think we have to do. Jesus is all those things that we think we have to be. Jesus is all those things that we think we have to believe. He's all of them. It's Jesus. It's about him. It's not about us. Pray about him.
Amen.
That's right.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. And having faith, you know, using Jesus' faith, just to know that Jesus' faith, amen, causes the supernatural. Your faith can only get you what you can believe for, but Jesus' faith can get you everything that the Word of God says is yours.
Amen.
Amen. You know that Peter didn't have to believe he could walk on water?
Right.
It's when he believed that he was walking on water when he sank. Because he knew he couldn't walk on water on a windy day. Amen. It says he was walking on the water and he saw the winds boisterous and he sank. And his thought was, you can't walk on water on a windy day. But before that, he just took Jesus at his word. He just said, he just did what Jesus said. Amen. Jesus said, come. And he just stepped out on the water and he was doing good until he realized he was walking on the water. Come on, man. And that's what happens to us. When we start taking credit for it, I can walk on water. No, you can't. No, you can't. It has to be supernatural if you're going to walk on water. And if it's going to be supernatural, your trust and faith has to be in him.
Yeah.
You'll never see the supernatural, amen, until you start believing Jesus in the natural.
Come on.
It's a supernatural thing for us to stand up before a crowd and tell them that we're righteous. That's a supernatural thing.
Yes, sir.
I got a hold of that years ago, and when somebody asked me how I was, they'd say, how are you? And I'd say, I'm supernaturally. I'm supernaturally. It's a natural thing for me to be super.
Yeah.
Amen. It's a natural thing for us to be what the Word of God says. Amen. But it's supernatural to the world. It's supernatural to our own thinking. Come on. You know, when Jesus said, he said, if you've got faith as a grain of mustard seed, you can say unto this sycamine tree, be plucked up and be cast into the sea. Or in other words, planted in the sea. Well, you don't plant trees in the sea. That's a supernatural thing.
Right.
You don't fish for taxes. Some people go fishing to pay their taxes, but no, you don't fish for taxes. He told the fisherman, Jesus told a fisherman to go fish for his taxes. And said, and the first fish you catch, open his mouth and the tax money will be in. How many mouths of fishes do you think Peter had looked down? He looked down lots and thousands of fish and never seen any tax money in there. So to tell him that is a supernatural thing. That's a supernatural thing. See, only faith in Jesus and only faith in Jesus' faith, amen, right, can cause you to see the supernatural. You'll never see the supernatural operating in your faith.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Takes all the work out of it. I was in a tent meeting. When I first started saying this, and I shared this with Andrew years and years ago, I was at a tent meeting, and there was a lady sitting there that I knew her. I didn't know her real well, but I knew who she was, and I knew what she was suffering from. I knew her husband, and I also knew that she'd been going to different places and she'd been to bigger names than what I was and had people pray for her, and she hadn't got any better. And she had scoliosis of the spine, which I found out later, but I didn't know what scoliosis was then. You know, I thought that was something you had on your skin. And I said, and I looked at her and my heart, come on, say heart.
Right.
My heart went out to her. And I thought, I don't want her to come up here and me lay hands on her like everybody else has and her go back sick. I don't want to do that. And the Lord spoke to me this quick. Come on, say this quick.
This quick.
Come on. It's real quick. Because when you think the wrong thing and then you say something wrong, amen, then your wife slaps you. It's quick. I'm not going to give a quick joke. Don't worry about it. I'm not going to do that. But the thought comes to me. It said, tell her to get up and come up here. And if she's got faith enough to get up out of her chair and come up here, then my faith's going to take over. Come on. It's Jesus' faith that heals you. It's not your faith that heals you. Amen. It was Jesus' faith that took the 39 stripes on his back. Amen. It was Jesus' faith that went to the cross. Come on. It was Jesus' faith that did all of everything that we need. It's not your faith. Amen. It's Jesus' faith. And so I looked at her and I said, sister, the Lord said, if you come up here, just come up here. I've got faith enough to walk up here. I said, then Jesus' faith is going to kick in. You're going to get healed. And I said, you're going to get what I say.
Wow.
And she walked up there. I laid hands on her, and God healed her just like that. Amen. Yeah. Her back was straightened out. Her husband had owned an ammunition gun place. And he told me, you'll never buy another shotgun shell the rest of your life. He said, I'll keep you in shotgun shells. I used to hunt birds all the time. And so anyway, it wasn't her faith. How much faith does it take to walk from there to here? How much faith does it take for you to say what God says? How much faith does it take, amen, for you to just say, I'm going to walk on the water because Jesus said come, not because I can walk on water. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. Come on. How much faith does it take? How much faith does it take for you to step out and do the things that the Bible says? I was going to read two chapters of the Bible this morning. I want you to read them. I'm going to give you a home assignment. Amen. Read Ephesians 1 and 2. And then I'm going to talk about what it says in Ephesians 2, 8, where it says that we are saved by faith through grace. Or saved by grace through faith. Yeah. Not of ourselves, lest anyone should boast.
Right.
Come on. You know, if we had anything to do with our salvation, we could boast. If we had one thing to do with it, we could boast. But we didn't have one thing to do with our salvation. You know, I said before, you know, back when they had that, you know, God looked at their faith and measured their faith, and they had to have faith that, you know, that their faith was beyond the law. They couldn't keep the law, but they had faith in God anyway. Come on. They had faith in God. And so I'll put it this way. This is the lost side of the cross. Amen. And then over here is the saved side of the cross. Over here. And so you guys are saved over here. You're all right. We'll preach to these guys. But if I... Before the cross, before Jesus died on the cross, if I had been a part of the old covenant, I wouldn't have made it. I wouldn't have made it. Yeah. It took the Spirit of God, amen, that I had absolutely and positively nothing to do to come and live inside of me to get me to believe in God.
Right.
Come on, that's what the Spirit's for.
Right.
Amen. The Spirit of God come into you when you said yes to Jesus. You don't. What do you know about salvation? What does anybody know about salvation?
Right.
Come on. What do we know about any of that? We just take God at His word, amen, and take Him at His faith and receive that. And so, by faith am I saved through grace. No, but it's by faith. Grace I'm saved through faith. Yes. And see, faith comes by grace. So, what did you do to earn it? What can you do to make your faith strong? Believe in the grace of God.
Right.
Come on.
Believe.
So, grace came. Then, because of grace, it was through faith in that grace, in that unmerited favor, that I got saved. And so I cannot boast. Amen. There's no way that I can say, hey, look what I did.
Right.
Look what I did. Now, you know what? When I got saved, I got a little holier than now. I got a little better. I knew I was saved because I quit cussing.
Right.
Amen. It wasn't until I got enough grace that I felt like I could still cuss. I tried to hold it down in the moment, but I was thinking about something I heard that they said, and I was thinking about this, you know, you're talking about loving everybody, about how the church is supposed to love one another, and they say, well, that's just a little blessing club over there. Well, what would you rather go to a cursing club? I mean, let's go somewhere where people curse us. If you don't think a blessing, I'd rather go where I'm being blessed, amen, than being cursed, wouldn't you? And see, that's what the grace of God does. The grace of God is a blessing cup. You are blessed.
Amen.
Amen. You're blessed because of what God has done through Jesus and through grace.
Amen.
We're blessed.
Amen.
Thank you, God.
Andrew Woman goes said, yes, Andrew, how are you, Andrew? He said, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Doesn't make a difference what's going on in his life. I mean, I'm blessed. I went out to his men's conference this year. 900 men.
Wow.
900 men. Boy, Anthony, you would have had a fit out there when you heard all them 900 men singing. Man, that's you know, chills up down my spine. 900 men stand up and singing praises to God.
Glory to God.
And I was sitting beside a guy that's just getting into grace. Come on. And we were put together. God put us together. And we were sitting there, and I hammered on him for 2 or 3 days. You know, grace. And Andrew was preaching on pride, you know, and not being proud. And he, you know, he was telling how that you know that God gives grace to the humble, but he resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble.
Amen.
Come on.
Amen.
And being humble is not putting your tail between your legs and walking around like a whipped dog. Being humble is standing up and declaring who you are in Christ.
Amen. Amen.
It's a humbling thing for me to stand before you today and tell you that I'm saved.
Amen. Amen.
Glory
Amen.
To God.
Hallelujah.
I'm filled with the Holy Ghost.
Come on, yes. Holy Ghost.
Come on, man.
Yes.
That humbles me to think about that.
Yes.
I mean, I don't, you know, I'm no telling what all the Holy Ghost had to run out of me to get in there. Took 2 hours and 45 minutes, didn't it?
2 hours.
So that's a humbling thing for me to say. It's a humbling thing for me to stand before you and tell you that I'm righteous, I'm holy, I'm unblameable in the sight of God.
Come on,
yes.
Come on.
That's what being humble
yeah.
is. That's
yeah.
humility. And you know, the more I say that, the more grace I get.
Come on, come on.
Come on.
Yes.
Come on.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Why is grace so good? Because you don't have to earn it.
That's right.
Jesus.
That's good news.
Yeah. Grace is so good, you don't have to be worthy of it.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah.
Amen.
I got the hack of last week, brother.
Oh, you didn't?
I didn't. I told him how I was preaching in a tent one time and I had this light up right above my head. And it started getting dark out and the bugs started flying around like that. And I sucked one down my throat.
Oh.
And I turned into a hacking preacher. And I said, now I know where they come from. Tents. Thank you, Jesus. But God resists the proud. You know what a proud person is? A proud person is somebody that thinks they earned it.
Uh-oh.
They deserved it.
Uh-oh.
Come on.
Yeah.
Well, I deserve better than that. Mm. No, you got a whole lot better than you deserve.
Come on, man.
I don't know why I love you back in front of me. Come on. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
Sure. Well, you know what? You don't want to get what you deserve.
Come on. Don't talk about it.
No, we don't want to get what we deserve, do we? That's where mercy comes in. Amen. Mercy is not getting what we deserve.
Yes. Yes.
Grace is getting what we don't deserve.
Amen.
Come on. And so we need both. We need mercy and grace.
Yes.
Grace and mercy.
Right.
Amen. And so we need both of them. But Andrew was teaching on that, and in the process of teaching that, you know, I didn't go to this guy that I was teaching grace to, and I said, you know, 36 years ago, Andrew Womack called me up on the phone. I wasn't expecting this. I'd never talked to Andrew in my life. Didn't know him other than just hearing him on the radio and thought he talked funny. And I knew that he believed like me, though. And I had a great respect for him because he was confirming stuff that's in my heart that I've been preaching to my people. And I love somebody like that. Come on.
Amen.
Yeah. Now, you Wimble wouldn't have somebody in here that wasn't going to confirm what he preaches.
Right.
I'm not preaching anything to you that Wimble hadn't preached to you. Amen. He wouldn't have somebody in. I wouldn't have anybody in my church that'd do that either.
Right.
No way. Amen. You're feeding these people all this stuff. Amen. And then somebody comes in and tries to feed them this garbage. Come on. So anyway, Andrew said to me, he said, your wife, I got a letter from your wife, which he wrote one out there, and I just rehearsed this to Todd and Mary a while ago, but he put this in there, and but anyway, I leaned over to this guy beside me, and I said, you know, I said, 36 years ago, Andrew Womack called me up on the phone and told me I was puffed up in pride, and I said, he's doing the same thing now. And I hadn't any more got that out of my mouth, and he said, where's Clifton Colder? Is he still here? And he got me. I wasn't expecting that. He hadn't called anybody up other than the people that were speaking, and I got to him. And so I went up there, I've never had stage fright. I've preached before more people than that, but not 900 men. Mm-hmm. Come on, I do better preaching than women. I see myself as God's gift to women more than men.
Wow. I can't help it.
Anyway, I was shocked. I got up there and my hand was shaking. I had to hold on the mic like that. And he said, man, that's what he talked to. He said, tell them the story about the first time you talked to me. And I had just told it to that boy back here, and I told him that story about how he said, your wife says you're down. And my thought was, Andrew's going to get down with you. Have you been there?
Yeah.
You know, it's no fun to have a pity party if you can't get somebody involved in your party.
No.
I mean, half the biggest part of a pity party is having other people pity you.
Right.
Come on. And the more people you have pity in you, the better the pity party is.
Right.
That's it.
And so I thought, well, Andrew's going to get down with it. Praise God. And Andrew said, well, he said, you're puffed up in pride. I said, puffed up in pride?
Mm.
I said, I feel so low, Andrew, I can sit on a cigarette paper and swing both legs. I've never felt so low in my life. He said, listen to me, this is for somebody. Listen to me. He said, pride and low self-esteem are on the same, they're of the same spirit. He said, they're just on opposite ends of the stick. Come on.
That's right.
The same spirit. Because you've got your eyes on yourself instead of on Jesus.
Right.
Come on. When you start feeling low, let me tell you something. When you start feeling low, I'm going to tell you something. That persuasion is not coming from God.
Right.
It's not coming from the Spirit of God that lives inside of you. And if it's coming from the spirit of somebody that's standing beside you, they're of the wrong spirit.
Come on now.
Yeah.
Come on.
Amen. Come on.
That's good.
So, we have to keep our eyes on Jesus. You keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus.
Amen.
And you know what? Jesus does not care where your eyes have been before you look at him.
Uh-oh. Come on now.
Yes, sir.
See, a lot of times the person won't look at Jesus because they've been looking at everything else.
Uh-huh.
And they're ashamed.
Yeah, come on.
But Jesus don't care. He is not a high priest, could not be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted as we were. Come on, are you ready to listen to this? In all points tempted as we were, but without sin. He didn't sin. Now the only temptations that we can see that Jesus took and for us was the ones that he took when he was in the wilderness. And that first temptation, when Satan comes to him and Jesus had to eat 40 days, and he said, you know, if you're really the Son of God, you know, take this bread and turn it into, or these rocks and turn it into bread. And Jesus spoke to Satan. He said, thou shalt not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.
Amen.
Well, the last thing that God had said that everybody else heard him say, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased.
Yes.
You know that when God spoke that out of heaven, are you listening? Get ready for this one. This fits everybody in here. And when God spoke that out of heaven to Jesus, Jesus had to perform one miracle.
Come on.
You know, sometimes we think that the only time God is pleased with us is when we've done something mighty for him.
Come on.
No. No, God is pleased with you because you belong to him. Yeah. God is pleased with you because you belong to him. Hallelujah. I'll guarantee you when Urban got a hold of that little baby the first time, if she'd have pooped on him, she'd have said, still up there. What he promised, she probably had. You know, when we have a child, that little child comes, it's all wrinkled up and ugly looking. My kids all look like chicken hawks. They were all pointed and their eyes every one of them looked like chicken. But you know what? I loved them. And I've said this before, Lee. I said, I love those kids so much when they were, first of all, I can eat them. And years later, I wish I had them. Come on. We love them, don't we? Not because of any great thing they've done.
Right.
Not because of we're not even, sometimes, you know, when we love them so much, when we first see them, we think, they're never going to accomplish all the things I thought they would.
Mm-hmm.
But that don't make any difference.
Come on, man.
I love them
because
they're my seed. I love them because they belong to me. I love them because, and that's what God was saying when he said, you know, he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And what had proceeded out of the mouth of God is that I am his beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased, and I don't have to cook bread for the devil.
That's right.
Come on. I don't have to do one thing to prove it.
Come on.
That's how he was tempted in all points as we were without sin. And you know the thing of it is most Christians, come on now, you spend the biggest part of your life trying to prove to somebody else that you're a Christian.
Come on.
Give it up.
Give it up.
God spoke.
Yeah.
He said who you are.
Amen.
Amen.
You don't have to prove it to anybody else.
Come on, man.
That's right.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
Another one.
Don't you like that?
Yeah, that's good.
That's what makes your future bright, brother.
Yeah.
See, yes, God don't deal with the things of our past.
Mm-hmm.
You know, anything in our past, you know, sometimes our past is the best thing that can happen to us.
Mm-hmm.
It runs right straight to God.
Yeah.
Wow. Amen. It runs right to, we knew that wasn't the right way. We knew that we needed something better.
Yeah.
Come on, I don't know about you, but my worst day as a Christian has always been better than my best day as a lost man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
Yes, sir.
And I don't know how in the world people make it without the Lord.
Yeah.
I don't know how anybody can make it without the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's why I don't believe in backsliding. Ain't going to.
Right.
Somebody said, do you believe in backsliding? I said, why would I want to give up on eternity? Why would I want to trade one day for eternity? Why would I want to do anything, amen, that's not pleasing to God, knowingly do something, amen, that's going to cause me, amen, to be different than who I am?
Mm-hmm.
See, we forget something. We forget that we at one time were of sin nature.
Right.
We were born that way. We were born with a sin nature because we were born of the seed of Adam. You know, when Jesus came and he was the sacrificial lamb and he died for us, he was the only person on earth that could do that. Because he was the only person on earth that wasn't born of the seed of Adam.
Right.
Come on.
Right.
He was the only person that was born of the seed of God. And so that made him the perfect sacrifice. You know, people say, well, he was perfect because he did everything perfect. No, he was the perfect sacrifice.
Right.
I don't care what he
did.
Yes,
right.
Amen. He was the perfect sacrifice.
Yes, yes.
I seen he give the Pharisees a hard time sometimes. Amen. I don't. You know, in today's standards, you know, he wouldn't have been good enough to be a Savior.
Mm-hmm.
The only people that Jesus ever preached hell to were the ones that thought they were going to heaven by their work.
Yeah.
Go ahead, man.
Talking about it.
Amen. He never preached hell to anybody else. He never got upset with anybody else.
See it.
Come on. It was just the Pharisees. And the Sadducees were worse than that. Pharisees kept the same laws as Sadducees and didn't believe that there's a resurrection. Come on. That's why they were sad, you see. Well, it's good to see you, Leonard. So, it's by grace we are saved through faith, not of our works, lest any man should boast. Well, if you take that scripture right there, keep it in the forefront of your mind to know that this was God's plan. He did it all. We had nothing to do with it. Amen. Other than just say yes to Jesus.
Yes.
You know what happens if you say yes to Jesus? He comes into your heart.
Yes.
You know, Jesus is not out there hovering around waiting until you see the right say the right words. Jesus knows your heart. Even before you ask. And if you're here today, I don't know. I don't know everybody here today. Todd and Mary, I think, saved. I'm not sure. But a lot of you know, I don't know any of you.
Yeah.
Very many of you, anyway. And I don't know whether you're saved or not. But the thing about it is, today is the day of salvation.
Amen.
Today is the day to say yes to Jesus.
That's right.
And that's all you have to do, just say yes to Jesus.
Amen.
Say yes, Jesus. I want to be saved. Yes, Jesus, I want to be saved.
Yeah.
I asked somebody one time, I said, do you think I'm going to heaven? This is after I thought it fit. Some guy, I don't remember that one was. They said, well, do you want to? I said, yeah, then you are. You want to go to heaven? You say, well, how can you say that? How can you just say that if you want to go to heaven, you can go? Because there's been a way provided.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm.
That's right.
But I can't mess up.
That's right.
That's good.
There's been a way for me to go, amen, that I can't mess up.
Yeah.
And thank Jesus, amen. There's been a way. You know, hey, if there's a way to get there, I'm going.
Yeah.
Man.
What about you?
Yeah.
If there's a way to get to heaven, would you go?
Right.
Yes,
right.
Sir. Amen. Well, there's a way.
Great.
Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He's the way. Jesus is the way.
Yes.
Praise God.
Amen.
Isn't that good news?
That's good. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Jesus. Good news. Jesus is the way. So all we got to do is believe in Him. Just believe that He's the everything that God says He is. You know, who can believe God? The Bible says that God is a man that He's not a man that He should lie. I know he wasn't from Missouri. Come on. Thank God that God's not a show me God.
Yeah, yeah.
Come on. You don't have to show God nothing, amen. All you've got to do is come to Him like you are. Come on. You don't have to show Him anything. You know. And here's why God here's why God can't lie. Now we're all sitting in here, and we know that it's light outside.
Right.
But if God was standing here instead of me, and He said, "Look out the window, it's dark." You know what would happen? We'd look out the window, and it'd be dark.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why He can't lie, because everything He says is the truth. His word is so powerful, amen, that it's just this, that, that. And so, you need to get a hold of what He says about you.
Amen.
You are what He says, amen. You're not what your wife says. You're not what your husband says. You're not what your friend says, amen. You're not even what the preacher says unless he's saying what God says.
Come on, man. Come on, man.
Come on. God can't lie. He's too powerful to lie.
Come on.
He spoke the world into existence with His word.
Right.
He said, "Let there be light."
Amen.
And there was. He said, you know, he spoke everything into existence because when he speaks, it's the truth. Amen. It exists.
Yeah.
It's a tangible thing. When God's word is a tangible thing. And what God's word says about you. You know, James, in the book of James, it says that we need to be a doer of the word, not just a hearer only. Because someone who is not a doer of the word, amen, is like a man who beholds his natural face in a glass and then goes off and forgets what manner of man that he was.
Right.
And you know, we think about that, and we get to trying to, well, okay, I'm going to do the work. Well, how do you do redemption? See, it's not of you doing something,
amen.
Being a doer of the word is just taking God at his word.
Yeah.
That's being a doer of the word, amen. You're a doer. I'm a doer of the word. And you know what? I believe the word, and it did me. So now I'm a doer of the word. Come on. I believe the word, and it did me. And so now I'm a doer of the word, amen. I am the word. And it didn't, besides that, it didn't say that you wasn't that man. It said you looked in the mirror and saw who you were, but then you went away and you forgot you was that man.
Come on.
You never was that man. It says you forgot you were that man.
Come on.
What happens to you when you start getting down is you forgot who you are.
Oh, come on now. Talk about it.
You got your eyes on yourself instead of on Jesus.
Yes.
Because when you look at Jesus, you really see who you are.
Woo!
That's a miracle.
Amen.
Amen.
What a powerful thing.
Yeah.
It says before God formed the foundations of the world, he had you in mind.
Mm.
He had salvation in mind. He had it all planned out. Amen. For every one of us, amen, who would call upon his name, we should be saved. Amen.
Yeah.
By grace, by his wonderful grace, what he gives us. And it's ours. It belongs to us. Amen. It's not something that we have to work for. It's ours. If we work for it, then we would earn it, and then we could boast.
Mm. Wow.
But we have nothing to boast in other than Jesus. Paul said, if I'm going to boast in anything, so I'm going to boast in my weaknesses. In other words, what he's saying is, I'm going to boast in what how little I can do, because when I realize how little I can do, that's when I realize how much God can do.
Wow.
All right.
Thank you, Jesus. That's good enough.
Yeah.
You don't see many televangelists stand up in front of the people that they're preaching in front of and talking about their weaknesses. Paul did. And the reason he did is because he knew he couldn't do nothing without the Lord.
Yes.
He wasn't putting down mankind, amen. He wasn't putting it down himself. He was just saying, I'm, as far as myself is concerned, amen, I can do very little. I can't do anything.
Yeah.
But I found out that when I get like that, when I realize how insignificant I am, that's when the power of God is strong.
Mm. Oh, man.
Yes.
Come on. That's when God is the strongest in me, is when I realize that I can't do anything. How many times have you ever just thrown up your hand and say, I don't know what to do?
Yeah.
Well, that's the time that you're closest to God.
Yeah.
When you get out of the way.
Come on now.
When you get out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
I remember one time I was praying about this certain thing in church. It had me bubbled up. We had lots of people there, you know, for the area we was in. And we had a bunch of people. And I felt responsible for all of them. But I couldn't figure out this one situation, what I was going to do. I kept praying, and nothing seemed to be happening. And finally, I just give up.
Mm.
I just give up. Got my hands off of it and said, God, I don't know what to do.
Come on now.
Come on. And it took care of itself. Only it wasn't taking care of itself. God took care of it.
Come on.
I said, Lord, why didn't you do that when I was praying? Sometimes we like to boast in some things. You know what I'm saying?
Come on.
Sometimes we like to say, I'll come in and I'll tell Jerry something that I've done or something I found. She said, I've been praying. And I said, Lord, why didn't you move? He said, if I'd have moved, he said, I'd have dislocated you. He said, you was in this thing up to your armpits.
Mm.
And he said, if I'd have moved, I'd have ripped your arms off. Come on. Come on.
Mm-hmm.
What is it that you can accomplish by worrying?
Come on now.
What is it that you can accomplish, amen, by fretting over something?
Nothing.
Running over in your mind, over in your mind, over. Do you ever get mad at somebody? Nobody in here ever got mad at anybody? Okay. And did you ever, because you knew you needed to meet with them, you'd set up a time of meeting. Did you want to meet with them? And how many of you went over and over in your mind what you were going to say and what they were going to say? And then you fretted all day long over all this stuff, and nothing turned out like you looked. They either knocked you cold, or you didn't get to say what you said. But see, that's what we do. We don't, and when we're doing that, we're not putting that in God's hands.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We're not doing that. You know what would happen if we really put it in God's hands? God would say, "Come, you forgive them."
Come on.
Ah, God, you take the fun out of everything. Tell them you love them. Ah! There's a guy I knew for, oh, he'd give me fits, he's got to give me fits. He really called me a lot, baby. And our ministry and our family. And we were sitting in a meeting, that guy was there. And I just got compassion for this guy. You know, I felt sorry for him, for the way I felt about him. He hadn't done anything. He was still the same jerk. Come on, he's still a jerk today. But he's not my jerk, he's God. But I just wanted to go over, and so I went over and hugged him and kissed him on the cheek.
Bless you.
Come on. Mm-hmm. And then I run outside and grab a mule deer by the tail and just his rear end and get a taste out of my mouth. But anyway. I think about all the threats and all the things I've done. And it was ended in an instant. It was ended in an instant when I did what God told me to do.
Come on now. Come on. That's good news.
Amen. Yeah. Anything. Man. Why do we carry these loads when he says, yoke up with me?
Yeah. Yeah.
Why do we yoke ourselves up with all these problems? Why do we yoke ourselves up with what? Why do we want to stay on the negative side of something, amen, when we belong to the maker of the universe?
Come on now. Come on. Say it. Tell me like it's funny.
Amen. nothing negative about God.
Amen.
Oh, he loved us so much. He loves us so much. And you know, I know that it doesn't make a difference how much you preach or how long you live. We're just scratching the surface of how much God really loves us. And there's churches springing up all over the country now preaching of God's love and God's grace. Amen.
Amen.
And we're not alone anymore.
Amen.
You know, there was a time there that the people that preached grace, we were that church. You know, didn't have a name. You know, we were that church. And people thought we were crazy.
Yeah.
I saw this the other day, you know, people would come to our church and they were trying to keep a low profile. And they'd get in there and they'd get a hold of what we preached and taught and they'd get a little nuts, you know, they'd get a little crazy. But they still didn't want anybody else to know it. I'd say, you're already labeled, they sell your car in the parking lot. One woman said, are you still pastoring that bunch down there? I said, bunch? We're not bananas. I said, her church has got a name, you know. Isn't that crazy? Isn't it crazy how someone gets free and the people in the cells are cursing them?
Wow.
The
cells
cursing them. Come on.
Persecuted by you.
The people in the cell. Hey, you're free and they ought to be blessing you because you've got the key.
Yeah.
They ought to be cursing you, amen. You got the key. Most people that say they're trying to set people free are in the same cell with them.
Yeah.
You're no better off than I am.
Hey.
Come on
now.
Amen.
Come on.
Freedom is out there.
Man.
It's not in the cell. Freedom is out there. And if you see something, you know, I've always told this before. Wouldn't it be stupid? Wouldn't it be dumb if we were trying to get tickets to the Rams game? That wouldn't be dumb. I say we're trying to get tickets. It's open to all of these. I get mad at it because of that. We're standing in line, and let's say there's 10 or 12 people in front of us. And all at once, this person jumps out of line and says, I got my tickets. And we jump out of line and say, you dirty rats. And the line goes up on us. See, I believe this. When you see someone else blessed, you need to be blessed with them. When you see somebody else being blessed, amen, of God, you need to jump on that wagon, amen, and just be blessed with God with them. Don't ever get envious or jealous of someone who's being blessed by God, amen. Stay in line. You're next. Just stay in line. Thank you, Jesus.
Got another one.
Thank you, Jesus. I'd like to be a cool man. There's a lot of things that I'd like to boast in today, but if they'd all be the Lord, but I'm not going to do that. I'm going to quit right here and just say this. You know, that if we have anything to boast about, amen, it's about Jesus.
Amen.
We can boast about Jesus. We can brag on our Jesus, amen.
Amen.
You know, and I've said this before. The Lord woke me up one time and gave me this little nugget. He said, a testimony is not what you've done for God. A testimony is what God's done for you.
Amen.
Yeah.
And you know, everyone can relate to what God has done for you because they're just like you.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
We're all alike. We're all the same. We need what God has for us.
Right.
Right.
Amen. There's not a person that doesn't need what God has for them.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Paul Roberts, you know, he had a great ministry of healing, and he said, I've never been anywhere where somebody didn't need to be healed.
Mm-hmm.
I've never had a meeting where there wasn't someone in there that you know, someone needed healing. And it's the same way now with these meetings. Someone needs to get a hold of the revelation of God's love, unconditional love and grace.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. God's called me to preach the gospel. Preach the gospel.
Yeah.
Preach the gospel. I picked up a couple the other day. I had to bring them up here and said, let's get something out of the storage room. And take them back down to Park Hill. They moved down to Park Hill. And they got in the truck. And I said, are you guys poor? They said, yeah. I said, well, then I'm going to preach the gospel to you all the way to St. Louis. I said, well, God has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen. That's what they need. You'd think that they need to give money to the poor, but it says preach the gospel to the poor.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good news.
Yes.
Even though that's good news, preach the gospel to the poor.
Yes.
And what the gospel tells the poor is they don't have to be poor no more. Amen. That's good news.
Yeah.
That's good news. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you,
Jesus. There's a whole lot worse than being out of money.
Right.
That's true.
Amen.
Yes.
Yeah. A whole lot worse thing to be with you, you know, to be happy with you than being poor. Amen. You know, being poor in spirit's a whole lot worse than being poor.
Yes, sir.
In the natural.
Yeah, yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
But you don't have to be poor in spirit.
Come on now.
Amen.
Jesus has made it possible for you not to ever be poor again.
Thank you, God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Father.
Good.
Thank you, Lord. Yeah, come on up here. Would you?
Yep.
I love my wife. I tell people I overmarried. I always tell them I overmarried when I get married to my wife. She's been such a blessing to me. Been married 46 years, starting 47 in June. And I don't know. I couldn't make it without her. I'll just tell you that. I couldn't make it without this woman. And we had so much fun together. You know, serving the Lord together, sharing His love, not only to other people but with one another. You know, the Bible says that we've come with revelation. And every time I get a revelation, I run it past her. And every time she gets a revelation, she runs it past me. And, you know, we just minister to each other that way. And that's a tremendous blessing.
Mm.
Tremendous blessing. You know, and I don't know whether this relates to anybody in here or not, but women, don't ever get to thinking that your husband is a spiritual slug. Amen. He's a gift from God. And men, the same thing.
Yeah.
Same way. And we've ministered a lot of places. We did marriage seminars for years all around the world. And we were in West Virginia one time. This is kind of funny. But But anyway, we were in West Virginia. And for some reason or other, and we're in the loft of a truck stop. That's where we had that. That's a lot of people there, wasn't it? Husbands and wives. And But I hate to say this, but there was some of the ugliest people I've ever seen in my life. You know, there's pictures of congregation, you know, they'll be perfect, but then there's a lot of once in a while you see, but these were these people are awesome. And so, for some reason, I taught on the virtuous woman. She usually teaches on the virtuous woman. But I was teaching it line for line on the virtuous woman. And I said, you know, the virtuous woman protects you, husbands, I said, protects you from the strange woman. Mm-hmm. You know, if you got a good wife, she'll protect you from the strange woman. Mm-hmm. And these women are looking around like, at their husband, like, who'd want him? I said, I can tell what you're thinking. You're thinking, who'd want him? But I said, why do you think they call that woman strange? You get that. All right. But thank God for husbands and wives.
Amen.
Thank God for strong families.
Amen.
Thank God for children. Thank God for the gifts that God has given us.
Amen.
Amen. We are so blessed. Amen. I just want to give you a chance. Like I said, I don't know whether everyone in here is saved or not. Maybe you come here today for the first time and thought you were, but your idea of being saved to God is doing everything right, keep doing everything right, or you're not right anymore. But see, God doesn't judge on the curve, amen. He doesn't judge on how good you are, how bad you are. God judges you by what have you done with Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Where's Jesus at in your life? Mm-hmm. Amen. He looks at Jesus. When he looks at you, he don't see you, he sees Jesus.
Amen.
And so I just want you to bow your heads just for a moment and let's pray and just say this with me. Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
You paid the price.
You paid the price.
For me to be saved.
For me to be saved.
For all my sins to be forgiven.
For all my sins to be forgiven.
For all my past to be put in the past.
For all my past to be put in the past.
And now I say yes to you.
And now I say yes to you.
Enter my heart.
Enter my heart.
Take control of my life.
Take control of my life.
For I give it to you.
For I give it to you.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Keep your head bowed, your eyes closed. If you prayed that prayer today and you've never, I'm not talking about just that particular prayer, but you never knew whether you were saved or not, and you prayed that prayer and asked Jesus in your heart, would you just raise your hand? Okay, praise God. 4 or 5 hands. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise you, God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We're so thankful.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you,
Amen.
Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Glory to God.
You have any word there?
I'm just, you know, this could be everybody, but there's one particular person. I mean, a lot of people have financial issues, but the Lord's spoke to, ever since I walked up here, about someone that has a very urgent financial need soon, and you're worried about it, but God says to just apply what's been taught today and know that God loves you and that he's going to take care of that. He is going to take care of it. And so knowing that, you know, what faith is that we see it already done. We see that it's done. So when you know it's done, then that can bring peace, right? So he wants peace to come. And even the rest of us who might need money for something. You know, when we trust God and walk with him and just totally surrender to him, I'm telling you, he just takes care of things in ways that we can't even conceive. What we think is, oh, well, you know, I don't know how that's going to happen because I don't have anywhere for it to come from. Well, God does know how it can happen, and he has ways that we haven't even thought of.
Come on, that's good.
That he can provide for you. God's going to provide for you.
Yes.
Do you provide for your children?
Yes.
Are we his children?
Come on. Yes.
And he provides for us the same way.
Yes.
And even if you've gotten your own self, and this urgent financial need is because you did something you shouldn't have done with your money. Oops. Even that doesn't even matter.
Talk about it.
Doesn't even matter that you did something you ought not have done with your money and now you're wondering what you're going to do over here. Doesn't even matter. God's love says, I'm going to take care of that for you, but learn something in it.
Amen.
We're supposed to be learning as we go. It's a journey. It's not just instant.
Yes.
It's a journey that we walk every day with God, learning more and more every day how much he loves us, cares about us. And the message today, the title is Keep Your Eyes on Jesus.
Mm.
We can look everywhere else and get turmoil in our heart. But when we keep our eyes on Jesus, peace comes.
Mm.
Peace.
And you know, that's what he is our peace. Jesus is our peace. You know, he says that in his word. And you know, the gospel is called the gospel of grace and a gospel of peace.
Amen.
You know, grace meaning an undeserved, unmerited favor, and peace meaning that God is no longer at war with you. And you know, in the old covenant, you know, God was holding everybody's toes to the fire. Come on. He was saying, here's the laws. If you don't keep the laws, if you don't do this, you don't do that, then me and you don't have any peace together. But Jesus was born. Come on. Say Jesus was born. Peace on earth and goodwill towards men. When Jesus came. And peace is God no longer at war with you. God is your Father. And He is going to treat you like a father.
Amen.
And He says to us now, to mankind, He says, if we, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto our children, come on, how much more? How much more will God give good gifts to us?
Amen.
And you know, He's not saying that we are evil. He's just saying that as much as we love our kids, our love compared to His is evil. Isn't that something? We can't even wrap our brains around that. Amen.
Right. Do you want me to just go ahead since I'm up here? Okay, we're getting ready to receive the offering. Everybody should be clapping and be so excited. You know, the reason.